Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our Bible study on the book of Job, entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? Today we want to talk about the concept of an interpreter. We find this spoken of in the book of Job, chapter 33, and verses 23 through 24. This is in Job, chapter 33, and verses 23 through 24. This is this idea of an interpreter. It says, if there is a messenger for him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to declare to man God's righteousness, then God is gracious to the one who is suffering, and says to the interpreter, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. Now this may sound a little bit complicated, so we're going to break this down. In this scenario, Elihu is the interpreter, Job is the one who is suffering, and Jesus is the ransom. Okay, you got that? I'll say it again. In this particular scenario, Elihu is the interpreter, Job is the one who is suffering, and Jesus is the ransom. So let's read this again, but we'll insert these three names into here. In Job chapter 33 and verses 23 through 24, it says, if there is an interpreter for Job, just one man in a crowd of a thousand, to declare to Job God's righteousness, then God is gracious to the one who is suffering, which is Job, and says to the interpreter, which is Elihu, deliver Job from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom, and that's Jesus. Elihu, as the interpreter, is that rare one of a thousand people who truly understands that God is good all the time. And, more importantly, he can show people exactly how God is being good in their particular situation. Now that's quite a talent. So I'm going to repeat that. Elihu, as the interpreter, is that rare one out of a thousand people who truly understands that God is good all the time and can show people exactly how God is being good in their particular situation. Thus, Elihu instructs Job, and his three friends for that matter, that the method God is using to help Job grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ is through the sanctified use of Job's physical affliction. As Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible so eloquently puts it, when God in that way speaks to man, God intends to be heard and understood, so that man does not speak in vain. He is happy if there be a messenger with him to attend to him in his sickness, to convince, to counsel, and to comfort him, an interpreter to expound God's divine providence and to give him understanding of the meaning of it, a man of wisdom that knows the voice of affliction and its interpretation. For when God speaks by afflictions, we are frequently so unlearned in the language of afflictions that we have need of an interpreter, and it is well if we have such a one. That type of highly skilled interpreter is one of a thousand and should be valued accordingly. His business at such a time is to show unto man God's uprightness, that in faithfulness God afflicts him and does him no wrong, which it is necessary to be convinced of in order for us to see the benefit of the affliction. If it appears that the sick person is truly pious, the interpreter will not do as Job's friends had done, make it their business to prove him a hypocrite because he is afflicted but won't admit it, but on the contrary, the interpreter will acknowledge his piety despite his afflictions, that he may take the comfort from these afflictions. Now that's a long quote, but that's in Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible. Now this concept of an interpreter is so important for us to understand, because we need to be interpreters for people often. When they're going through some trial, we need to be able to interpret for them what God is doing. And if we have the mind of God in us, then indeed we can help them. And so we're going to go through the scripture again and talk about this some more, so we really get a deep understanding of what God is talking about. This again is in Job chapter 33 and verses 23 through 24. God is saying, if there is an interpreter for Job, and Elihu is serving as this interpreter, we need to learn how to serve as an interpreter. So if there is an interpreter for Job, just one man in a crowd of 1,000. In other words, there's not many people who can do this. If there's just one man or one woman in 1,000 who can do this, then you're lucky. We have to be that type of person. So if there's just one in a crowd of 1,000 that can declare to Job God's righteousness. So no matter what is happening, in this case, it was Job's physical affliction, we have to be able to interpret and declare to Job that God is working something righteous in Job's life through this physical affliction. Because Job had said that God was his enemy. And then, because he was saying, I haven't sinned, so I don't deserve this. God, why are you angry at me? Why are you setting me up as your enemy? You're hunting me as a fierce lion. And then his friends said, well, Job, this kind of suffering only comes upon people who have sinned. This kind of evil only comes upon an evil person. So Job, you must have sinned. Well, both of them were wrong. Both of them were wrong. Elihu had the proper perspective. He declared God's righteousness in this, in saying such things as, Job, God will never allow you to suffer more than you can bear. We should rejoice when we fall into diverse tribulations, because we know that this is a trial of our faith that works patience in us, and when patience has its complete work, then we'll be perfect, not needing anything. So scriptures like that we should bring to a person's mind. We should also let them know that, you know, God's not going to let us endure anything more than we can stand, but the way out of escape from this trial might be death. That might be it. We may suffer for years from cancer, for instance, with excruciating pain, but then die. Well, that's still God working something righteous in us. It's not that God has forsaken us, that he hates us. We don't always suffer because we've sinned. Good things happen to good people, but bad things happen to good people also. It's just that God makes all of those bad things work together for good with those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The present evil sufferings in this world are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. These are the type of things that we should believe deeply in our hearts and that we should be able to convey to other people. So we have to declare to Job, or our Jobs, the Jobs in our life, God's righteousness. When that happens, as it says in verse 24, then God is gracious to the one who is suffering, in this case Job, and says to the interpreter, in this case Elihu, deliver Job from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. In other words, the interpreter will lift up the name of Jesus, just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so that the sufferer will look up and see from whence cometh their salvation, and will repent of whatever sins they have committed, and accept the ransom, because Jesus Christ is the one who has died in our stead. He became sin for us, though he had never sinned himself. And if it's not a matter of a person having sinned and brought suffering upon themselves, then again, we don't need to take them that route of saying you need to repent of your sins and accept Jesus as the ransom, but we can take them the route of saying, you still need to look up to Jesus and know that Jesus is there. He will comfort you all the way. He who has begun a good thing in you will complete it to the end. Neither life nor death nor suffering nor anything shall separate us from the love of God. Look up to heaven from whence comes your salvation. And when the work of the interpreter is done, God will grant to the sufferer the restitution of all things. So in review, Elihu first extolled God's greatness and goodness. Then he assured Job that God was not punishing Job for any sins that Job had committed, but was rather seeking to help Job grow in God's grace and knowledge. After having accomplished that, Elihu must now show Job that he did end up sinning in his attempt to clear his name from the smear campaign of his three friends. And we're going to see how Elihu brought Job to that realization in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. Right from the pages of your own Bible, I will first reveal to you the identity of the beast, and secondly reveal to you what is the mark of the beast. I will do this during a free seminar entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? This free seminar will be held on Wednesday, February 14th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the North Lake Barbara Lohr Library, which is located at 3772 La Vista Road in Tucker, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please, don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you may end up receiving the mark of the beast. Many people will receive the mark of the beast in order to escape the great tribulation, which is Satan's wrath against the people of God. But those who receive the mark of the beast will not escape the day of the Lord, which is God's wrath against the people of disobedience. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.